your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, we'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis 49, verses 1 through 4. While you're turning, I'll read one other verse to you. That in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, Genesis chapter 49, we'll read verses 1 through 4, and we'll read this passage responsively. And Jacob called unto his sons, and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. I'll read yet one other verse to you. You need not turn there. 2 Peter 2:14 reads, Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you're a God, and you said that you are a rock. It means you're stable. You're always there, steadfast and sure. Lord, we live in unstable days, and we've transitioned from one year to the next, and school beginning again tomorrow, and so many different things that take place. May we not become unstable like the world. May we find our stability and security in you. Holy Spirit, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, we go to part number 4 on the final episode, if you will, here, of a lesson that I started teaching about the subject of insecurity. The Bible says in Genesis 49, verse number 4, Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. That first part of the sentence or the verse there, it says, Unstable as water, and thou shalt not excel. I have told you this as I taught the first three parts of this series. When I talk about insecurity, I know a little something about it. I struggled and still do, but struggle with a lot of insecurities as a young man. They in my high school voted on probably least likely to succeed. I might have gotten a pretty good vote on that because I was a bit backwards. If I did ever speak up in a crowd, I was usually a bit of a clown because I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how I'd be received. Didn't want to be embarrassed. And the incidents in my youth had, to a degree, knocked a certain amount of confidence out of me. And I have to work at this thing. I have to work at my insecurities. Here in Genesis chapter 49, I see something, and I relate to it quickly. This is Jacob. He is on his deathbed, and he is predicting his son's future. And he speaks of Reuben, and he says, because you're unstable, you're not going to excel. Now, I want to excel. I want you to excel. And so here, a dad looks at his son, and he says of his son, because you're unstable, you're not secure, if you will, that you are not going to excel in life like you need to. Now, other verses that we've shared, James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's that unstable word again. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 2:14, there are actually people who beguile the unstable. There are folks who, if they notice someone's insecure, they prey upon them, or they take advantage of them, or they can hurt them. Now, the human race is frail. We don't like to admit to it, but we have our frailties. We have our fears. God, though, in the Bible, is constantly trying to stabilize us and anchor us and help us to become secure. Now, we're not talking about a self-security. We're not promoting humanism here. We're talking about a security that comes from our God. We're talking about a security that comes from the Holy Spirit that is within us. But over and over and over again, the Bible talks about our being courageous and being strong. We could relate it to security, being secure in the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." We could get a lot of security in life if we just believe that verse. God's not going to fail us. He's not going to forsake us. God doesn't want us to fear certain things. Now, that the wording from that verse is used repetitively throughout the Bible. At Numbers 13:20 tells us, "Be strong and of good courage." Deuteronomy 31:7 says, "Be strong and of good courage." Deuteronomy 31:23 says, "Be strong and of good courage." Joshua 1:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage." Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and of good courage." Joshua 1:18 says, "Be strong and of good courage." Joshua 10:25 says, "Be strong and of good courage." 1 Chronicles 28:20 says, "Be strong and of good courage." When God repeats Himself word for word over and over and over again, I think He's trying to drive the truth home. I think He... Now, if God says it one time in the Bible, you can go to the bank on it. If God says it one time, He meant it. But let me tell you something. If God repeats the same phrase, the same series of words over and over and over again, there's a reason He's repeating it. He's probably repeating it because people, maybe like you, I'm sure like me, need to learn to be strong and of good courage. We've got to stabilize ourselves so we're usable. We've got to anchor ourselves so we do right and that we don't hurt our lives or the lives of others. Now, God wants us secure, but remember, He doesn't want us proud. We're not talking about arrogancy now. We're talking about being secure, stable, anchored, strong, proper use of our courage. That's what God wants. Now, many problems in churches are caused by people that are insecure. I deal with people by the thousands. That's my job. My work is people work. That's what I do. In my opinion, there are probably more insecure people today in our country than ever before. There are a lot of things that have happened. There are a lot of things that have jostled our country and jostled people that have created some of those insecurities. But let me say, usually when you have a major problem within a church, you can often trace it to the insecurities of the person that causes the problem. Now, I'm going to give you some observations about insecurity. This is going to help you. This will help me. Some people struggle with it a little. I think everybody struggles with it. Everybody struggles with it some. Some struggle with it way, way, way too much. It's just a continual. It's a virtual state of life for you. Now, I hope, and you've heard me say this before, and thus far, I've really said nothing new to you. This has been the introduction of all three of the previous sermons. But I hope that the highly insecure people will see the sincerity of someone who loves you, and all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to tell you the truth, and I'm trying to help you. I've not used these sermons to try to attack anybody. I'm not using these sermons to try to hurt anybody. Tonight, I beg of you to muster enough security to accept this teaching as a sincere and helpful teaching. Don't take offense to it. I want to help you. Now, and you've heard me say this three times, it's a bit risky to try to help those that are unstable or insecure. Because if they're unstable, there's no way to know how they're going to respond. Boy, their insecurities may flare up real big as you're teaching it, and they're going to take it personal, as if it's an attack. That's one of those weaknesses of insecurity, that you could teach on insecurity, and they may love you or they may hate you for it. It's a bit unpredictable. They may run to you for help, or they may run from you in fear. They may defend you or they may attack you. You don't know. But I'm willing to take that risk. I made this statement this morning. One of my New Year's resolutions, if you will, or one of my goals, is I want the people of this church to be as secure in the love that I have for them. I have the privilege of loving many, many people, and I want you to know that I love you. And when I preach to you, I promise you, I don't preach to attack. Now, I may preach hard, and I want to beat the snot out of the devil, and I'm going to preach hell hot, and I'm going to preach against sin, and I'm going to name it. But I'm not doing that to hurt you. I'm doing that to help you. And again tonight, that's what I want to accomplish. Now, I'm going to review extremely fast, but I'm going to review things that I've already said about our insecurities. For instance, I said insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we're insecure, well, most of it's going to start that we're a bit insecure with God. I recommended this morning in this morning service that some of you set a goal to truly know God. Get rid of your surface religious relationship and get down deep with God. I mean, to where you really know God. There's something about getting close to God that will bring a certain spiritual security to your life. And everything else then can be built upon it. But insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God. Then secondly, insecurity then can cause us to struggle trusting human leadership. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Number three, insecurity causes us to see the negative first. Insecure people tend to see what's wrong first rather than what's right first. And of course then that makes them insecure in life. Number four, insecure leaders quickly call upon their position for clout when they feel threatened. In other words, they say, I'm the boss here. They're a little worried about the quality of their leadership. We looked at Psalm 25:5 where the Bible teaches that God both has the position of leadership, but he has all the qualities of leadership, and there is the blend of position and quality. We said number five, insecure people don't stay anywhere long. And it doesn't mean that every one of these applies to any one person. Some apply to some and some to others. But insecure people hop around a lot. They don't stay in the same house for long, don't keep the same job for long, don't stay in the same ministry for long, in the same church for long. There's some insecurity there. And the more you hop around, probably the more insecure you are. Number six, insecure people, and by the way, for number five, we use Ephesians 4:14. Number six, insecure people easily listen to gossip. Proverbs 19:27. Why do we easily listen to gossip? Because we don't have the courage to say no to someone. We want their acceptance so bad that we'll listen to what we should not listen to because we don't have the confidence to say, please don't say that to me. Then, I said number eight, insecure people then have a great potential then to be, number seven, they have a great potential of becoming a gossip. Why? Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, it's very hard for us not to speak what we heard. So if we're insecure enough that we listen to gossip, once we get it inside us, we're not going to have the ability not to talk about what we heard. Then number eight, and these three kind of go together, we listen to gossip too easily, then we repeat gossip too easily, then we have the potential of becoming evil. We talked about Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 8. What's evil? Evil's when we hurt people. Now listen, if you listen to gossip about somebody and then you talk about somebody, that can snowball into you hurting somebody. And evil is when we hurt someone, we launch an attack. So insecure people can become gossip prone, and that would cause them to get into the realm of being evil people. Number nine. Insecurity causes us to make emotional decisions rather than decisions by principle. Our hearts run out in front of us. Jeremiah 17:9. Our hearts are deceitful, and we let our heart cause us to make a decision instead of truth and the Bible. That'll get us in trouble. Number 10. Insecurity causes us to blow things out of proportion. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. Our insecurity, when something happens to us, it gets real big, real fast, it's overwhelming, it's all over, and boy, can we get ourselves in a mess. We're so insecure, you know, the sky is falling. You wake up the next morning and the sky did not fall, but our insecurity caused us to blow that which is good or that which is bad out of proportion. Number 11, insecurity produces some false fears. We might call it paranoia. We think somebody's out to get us or somebody's going to hurt us or someone has launched an attack when so many times they have not. It's not them, it's us and our insecurities. Number 12, we said insecurity causes us to have a hard time achieving balance. The Bible talks about our having strength and beauty. And what happens with insecure people, we tend to go to extremes. We tend to, one minute we're way too harsh, way too hard in the way we behave. And then we catch ourselves and say, oh boy, I've been too hard. Then if we're not careful, we'll go to the exact opposite extreme and we'll be mushy and soft. And what we were supposed to do is to get a right blend of strength and beauty. But insecure people run from one extreme to another. Then, number 13, insecurity can cause us to be deceptive. Psalm 62, verse 3 and 4. Sometimes when we're insecure, we can tend to lie. Why? Because we want to protect ourselves. When we lie, we are trying to protect ourselves. Because we're insecure. We don't want to be hurt. Number 14, insecurity can cause us to be mean or harsh. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:1, it talks about the brutish person. And it means, what it tells us there, insecure people don't really like to be corrected. They don't like the embarrassment. They don't like the hurt of it. Well, the Bible says you go to correct that person and they become angry. They become brutish about the correction. Number 15, insecure people can be schemers. They plot things out in their minds. Now, where do we get that? We went to Genesis chapter 37. If you remember earlier, we talked about and we read from Genesis 49 the story of how Jacob had predicted that Reuben would not excel because he was unstable. Well, who was Reuben? Reuben was the oldest boy that helped to sell Joseph into slavery and scheme up this plot to tell Dad that the boy had been thrown in a pit and had been mauled by an animal. So he's a bit of schemer, divisive, and a trickster. Now, that's review. Stay with me. Tonight we conclude, and I want to talk to you some more. That was point number 15 for the three parts. So tonight I'll continue with point number 16. Point number 16. Your insecurities, or our insecurities, can cause us to be unreasonable, overbearing, or controlling. Insecurity can cause us to be real controlling. Letting others have control of anything is very hard for the insecure. I don't know why it is. We don't think we can trust anybody else, and if you really get down to it, we should have a hard time trusting ourselves too. But we can be overbearing. And ladies, this isn't a beat up on ladies' point here, but a lady that's extremely insecure will have a very difficult time submitting to her husband. Because she won't let go. She won't let him have control. Now, the right kind of a husband wants to provide security. He wants to provide protection. But a lady that's extremely insecure, she'll have a hard time submitting because of her fears. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:7, this is Paul speaking, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." Evidently, Paul here is saying, you should have followed. I wasn't misbehaving or giving you a reason not to follow, so you should have followed. He says here, I wasn't disorderly, I wasn't misbehaving, but somebody there in the church of Thessalonica was having a hard time following, but Paul was not a disorderly or malfunctioning leader. Now, somebody was having a hard time following. Now listen. You got to be careful. If you have too many insecurities, you can become quite overbearing. And what you're trying to do is you're wanting to keep control of your life. Now, let me tell you something. You ought to give God control of your life. And young people, give mom and dad control of your life. Ladies, I hope you trust me, but the Bible teaches you're to submit to your husband. The husbands realize what a lofty, lofty responsibility that is. But you got to let your husband, he's going to give answer to God someday to what happens in your household. And so there needs to be a certain amount of control that takes place. Hey, they would use in modern vernacular, they'd say, be careful that you're not a control freak. See, someone that is insecure, the delegation of duties is very difficult for them. Someone that's got a bit of insecurity, they have a hard time delegating duties. I'll tell you something I was told. I was told by a man with two different doctor's degrees that was helped to train me. He said, "Jeff, I'm going to tell you what I fear about your future." He said, "Your potential is incredible. Your training is phenomenal." He said, "I think the thing that could stop you is you want to be in control so much, you're going to have a hard time learning delegation." He said, "Because you want things just so." He said, "And if you're not careful, you will choke the life out of your ministry because you can't let others help." Boy, do I have to work. And some of you are saying, "Well, you seem to delegate just fine." It is one of the biggest chores I have. You know, if I were not careful, I would have a church running 50 people. The carpets would be spotless. The parking lot would be spotless. I would not let anybody use the bathrooms. No way. I would want everything just, I would want to keep all that in my control. And it's because of my insecurities. And I have to work at that. Delegation can come hard if you have some insecurities. Sometimes teamwork comes hard for those that have those insecurities. I'll just do it myself. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we come across like, well, I'll just do it myself. And you're making it sound as if, you're going to do it so it's done right. No, you're going to do it so you're in control. And any of you that struggle with the insecurities now, don't be mad at me, because but I'm kind of lifting the lid on you and letting everybody see down inside there. I know this. You mothers need to be careful not to produce henpeck boys. You know, if you're not careful and you got to be in control. Look, moms, your boys, they're going to have to get out of your sight someday. It's just going to have to happen. And I hate to break it to you. They're going to get hurt. I mean, it's going to happen sooner or later. Be careful. If you're overly insecure as a parent, you say, I'm going to protect my kids from everything. No, you're not. You're going to make them soft, and when they leave your home, all the things that needed to happen to them will, and they're not going to know how to cope with it. Overbearing parents can produce immature kids. Overprotecting them. I don't know if I've ever said this before, but one day I knew a set of parents that were so overbearing. Their 16-year-old boy was mowing the yard, and the mother made him wear goggles while he mowed the yard. I felt so bad for that 16-year-old boy. I mean, he's great big goofy goggles. Now, sure, as I'm sitting here, somebody here makes your 16-year-old boy wears goggles to mow the yard. I don't know a boy that wants to wear great big goggles while he's mowing the yard. Mama was just trying to protect him from everything. Now, one of the best things that we can do is we can, while they're under our administration, let them learn some of the lessons of life while we can help put them back together. Sometimes, in our insecurity, it's almost, be careful, we could take this attitude. If I can't be in control, then I won't participate. If I can't be in control, forget it, I won't participate. Do you have any idea how much service to God and how much in life you're going to miss that way? Listen, teach your children how to handle difficulties in life, but don't do it for them. We need to teach them how to handle some of the difficulties in life. But we can't do them for them. Your kids have got to learn how to handle the hardships of relationships. Mom, if every time there's a quarrel between your child and somebody else's child, and you're on the forefront solving every problem, when your boy goes to work in the factory someday, he is not going to survive because he is not going to know how to handle himself with other men. He's got to learn that. Now, it's our job to teach them that, but not to do it for them. We're not just trying to protect them through life to the point that they're soft. So, what can happen is our insecurities can cause us to be unreasonable, overbearing, and controlling. Let's go on. Number 17. If your insecurities are allowed to go too far, it'll create disloyalty toward decent people. It'll cause disloyalty toward decent people. For instance, I believe that Judas, the betrayer, was insecure. Couldn't figure out which crowd he was going to be a part of. One minute he's with Jesus, next minute he's receiving money from somebody else to be accepted. Now, we know he was unsaved. But Judas turned on his leader. Who did Judas run with? Jesus Christ. Now, let me point out something here. Jesus was the perfect leader. And Judas still turned on the perfect leader. That wasn't Jesus' fault. That was Judas' fault. It was Judas that had the problem. Now listen, too much insecurity in a wife will create disloyalty toward her husband. And there might not be any way that he can provide enough security for her. Because the problem's not him. It's her. The same about an insecure husband. If he's too insecure, his wife can provide all the security that a wife can muster. But if he's got the inadequacy, no matter how much security that is provided, then they're still going to come up short. I knew a man. His first wife had cheated on him, and he was so paranoid about his wife cheating on him, he locked her in a closet one day. All day long while he was at work. Why? Trying to keep people away from her. She came to see me and she said, "Brother Owens, what in the... I've not done anything to him." Do you know something? There are some of you, your potential and some of your relationships are locked in a closet because you're so insecure. You say, "Well, I don't want to take a chance." Look, you're going to end up having to take chances. That's just all there is to it. Too much insecurity and an employee will create a disloyalty toward their boss, and it'll be the boss's fault. Too much insecurity in a Christian will cause them even to mistrust or be disloyal to their God. Listen to this. John 10:29 says, "My Father, which gave them me," it's talking about salvation, "is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The Bible teaches that once you get saved, you're always saved. But do you know there are people that don't even trust God with that? That is the promise of the security of the believer. And there are people that say, "I trusted God, but I don't believe that." You see, they don't believe Him. Is that God's fault? No. There are times when good people... Now, there's no such thing as a perfect people. There was one, they crucified Him. But there are times when good, decent people are betrayed by someone around or under them, but it's not really that good, decent person's fault. It's the insecurity of the follower. Judas betrayed Jesus. Christians virtually will say, "I don't believe God can love me that much." Well, He does. And the love of God is not at fault. You are. You're the insecure one. He's the secure one. So, I said this evening. I said, number 16, your insecurities can cause you to be unreasonable, overbearing, or controlling. Then I said, number 17, if your insecurities are allowed to go too far, it will create disloyalty toward decent people. Number 18, this one will be quick. Often, a leader's insecurity can be passed down to the followers. And that's something we all need to be careful of. Some of you adults, you need to be careful that you work on this thing of your securities and your being stable, because if you're not careful, you're going to pass it down to your children. A husband can pass to his wife certain insecurities. A wife to the children. The parents to the children. The boss to the employees. The pastor to the people. You know, something I work very hard on is helping all of us, even in struggled times, have faith in God. I don't spend my time in this pulpit influencing you for the doom and the gloom and the negative. I will talk to you about the doom and the gloom and the negative. It's a reality. But I try not to pass my insecurities down to you. I've got to keep faith in God. We've got to believe our God's a good God. We've got to believe that God would never put upon us anything that He would not help us to take. He's not going to overload us. But I I know preachers that are just doom and gloom, and their churches are dying in many cases. Why? People just give up. They're just so insecure. They say, "What's the use?" And you know something? I know where this whole thing's going. Now, it may get tough before we get to the end, but I know where it's going. You know, that things are going to go downhill eventually. Y'all read the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. Things are going to go downhill eventually. We're going there, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to do what I can to keep my faith to the end and reach everybody we can to the end. Let's not give up prematurely. Let's keep a good spirit, even if it gets tough. I mean, if you and I had to live through some very, very difficult days, don't you think we ought to encourage each other? Don't you think we ought to try to help each other survive it and have some happiness? I know where it's going, and I know the process. I've studied it, but I'll tell you something. I want to help keep people going if the process gets tough. But you know, if we're not careful, we can pass down or pass on to those around us our insecurities. You know, sometimes insecurities are taught, not caused. Say, what do you mean? This is what I mean. A woman who was betrayed. She is therefore insecure and hurt. That is an insecurity that was caused. That was an infraction that caused it. But if her daughter ends up totally insecure, it was not caused, it was taught. Not by infraction, but by observation. You hearing me? You got hurt, so you're insecure, and it was caused. But if you're not careful, your daughter won't get hurt, but she'll be insecure by observing the way you behave because of the infraction. That's one reason why you need to get victory over it. Because we can pass down. Let's face it. If the leaders are insecure, it often produces insecure followers. Boy, I battle with my insecurities. But I think you know, in this pulpit, I stand firm. I stand, not of myself, but boldly. And we go through hardships and trials and struggles, but all we go through boldly. You know, I think, as a result of that, I've got a relatively bold church. And now we all have our insecurities, but I think if push comes to shove, we can all stand up and fight for what we believe. I believe that. And we, as a pastor, I want that for you. And as parents, you ought to want that if you have insecurities, you got to be careful that you're not passing those down. You say, well, how can my daughter be insecure? Well, if somebody caused yours, if you're not careful, she will observe them. And she'll develop them, or your son, in your life. Let's go on. Next, insecure people. I like this one. Insecure people can be high achievers. Insecure people can be high achievers. They work extra hard to get much desired praise. They are extra clean in fear that someone might notice their hurt. They will put in extra hours in fear of being found lazy. And then feeling rejected and feeling not wanted and feeling revealed in their weaknesses. You see, insecure people, they can be extra organized so as not to embarrass themselves. Insecure people, and listen to this, insecure people, if God is allowed to get a hold of that insecurity, if God's allowed to develop it, they can be great achievers for God. The world might call them overachievers, if you would. Insecurity, if it's controlled by God and used for good, can be a blessing. It creates a spiritual productivity. But if insecurity gets out of hand and in the hand of the devil, it becomes unpredictable, destructive, and it'll deplete your success. You remember what Jacob said to Reuben? He said, you're unstable as water, and you're not going to excel. Now listen, you say, Brother Owens, I've got this insecurity. You can go one of two routes with it. You can either let the insecurities rob you, cause you to hide, cause you to be unpredictable, or you can give them to God and say, God, use me, use this. It's there. I want something good to come of it. And insecure people can be highly productive people. And so, you know, insecure people, there's a couple ways you take paying your bills. You know, insecure people are the kind of people that they don't pay on time, they pay early. Insecure people often pay ahead. Because they got to get in there early. I just don't know what's going to happen on the day that my bill is due. I'm going to pay it early and I'm going to pay ahead because I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Or if it can go the exact opposite direction, I don't pay them anything because I'm going to hang on to my money. That would really get you in trouble. It can go to one extreme or the other. Let it make you better. Now, it is 1 minute till 8. I'm going to take about 1 minute or so for each one of the following points. Now all I want to do is I want to help you. I'm going to teach you some things about helping others with their insecurities and some things that you can do in regard to your own personal insecurities. First of all, you've got to remember something called justice if you want to help yourself and help others with their insecurities. Isaiah 35, verse number 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. It's talking here about us strengthening those that are a little shaky, those that are unstable, those that are insecure. We ought to bring security to them. You see, the insecure should not unjustly mistrust or mistreat current leaders because it hurts from leaders in the past. You say, and what I'm saying is, somebody in the past hurt you. As a result of it, you're insecure. Now, how can I help you? Here's how I can help you. Don't be unjust with current leaders because of something bad that somebody did to you in the past. Do you see how it is not fair to the current leader that you don't trust because of somebody else? There's an injustice that's taking place there. I know a man, he had a bad experience with a boss. And I think his boss probably mistreated him and cheated him. But from that point on, he's never gotten along with another boss. Were all of his bosses crooks? No. One was. That man was, he was unjust in his treatment of boss number two, because boss number one had hurt him. He'd become insecure, and he began to practice injustices with other decent people. Now, if you're not careful, you'll do that. You had a boss, they cheated you, they didn't treat you right, they hurt you. You might want to call it bitterness, you can call it whatever you want, but a certain amount of insecurity, you're never going to trust a boss again. That can't be right. How can it be if one hurts you that all are going to hurt you? Does that mean if you hurt one, you're going to hurt all? Well, no, not you, but everybody else is that way. And so, you carry an insecure chip on your shoulder. So what do? If you want help, and if you want to help others, remember justice. Remember to be just. Be fair. Because one did it does not mean that another is going to do it, and each ought to get their fair shake in life. Okay. And if you put that in there, even with your spouse. See, my last spouse, they hurt me, so my next spouse is going to hurt me. That's not fair. You're going to ruin your marriage. There's got to be trust in that marriage. Give them a break. Give them a chance. They may not be like the last one. Let's go on. How do we help ourselves with these insecurities? Next, if you're insecure, you need to delay your decisions. When decisions come upon you, insecure people can make quick decisions. They can make bad decisions. And a good thing to do if you're insecure is to delay your decision making. Put it off long enough to let the dust settle so you can collect your thinking so you don't make a wrong decision. So I said, teach yourself, require of yourself and others justice. Next, make sure that you delay your decision making. Here's something that I try to do to help people that are insecure. I let panicked people keep their dignity. Let panicked people keep their dignity. In other words, somebody comes to me, and they're panicked, and they're just out of sorts, and the sky is falling, and it's all over. I'll calm them down. I won't embarrass them. I'll protect them. I'll let them get it together. And then I forget about the panic. We don't need to bring that up. Why? I want them to keep their dignity. Now, if I don't help them keep their dignity, I will lose my influence in helping them to stabilize their life. So, and some of you have experienced this. You come to me and you said, and it's just been this situation, and it's, wow, oh, and we calm down. Next time I see you in the hallway, I don't go, okay. No. Let the insecure one keep their dignity. Some of you, even within a family, look, if somebody in the family gets a big old dose of insecurity and they're a little panicky, help them through it, but be careful. Don't try not to make all that into an issue. Keep some dignity in that thing. Hey, and every last one of us is going to have your shot at panicking. You are going to have your opportunity. And you're going to wish that somebody would have maybe looked the other way for a moment or just got amnesia about the panic. So that, you know, it's hard enough to keep your chin up in the human race. We don't need somebody to be shoving us down all the time. So, I said this. Remember justice. I said, delay your decisions. I said, help them to keep their dignity. Number next, you as a leader, if you're going to help the insecure, you've got to work hard at being stable and secure yourself. Leaders, one of the, you got to be predictable. You need to learn to trust God. Hey, and if someone's having, if you say, here's someone that's trying to, they're within the realm of my leadership, one of the things they need to see is they need to see you trusting your leaders. You see, if they see you trusting your leaders, then they're more apt to trust you as a leader. And one thing that helps the insecure is that their leaders are secure and stable. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that'll help all of us. If you're a leader, panic in private. Panic in private. Because you're all going to have some of it. You know, but you've got to learn to stay calm. There is nobody that's confident 24/7. You've heard me say this, and I've taught it about leadership. Leadership is the ability to hide panic from the followers. Sometimes you are emotionally faking it until you make it. I've been through some things in my lifetime that devastated me. But I tried not to let anybody know. I kept my faith in God and I kept moving forward. And you know what? I made it. You say, well, I feel like a hypocrite. Well, welcome to the club, buddy. There's a certain bit of hypocrite in everybody. While we try to keep on going when it gets tough. Now, if we all wanted to, we could just emotionally fall apart. Have a big boo-hoo party. Well, that wouldn't do us any good. We need to keep going forward. Let me go on. Calm the insecure and then help them to use principles in their life and try to get them to move away from emotional decisions. In other words, what you do is if somebody's insecure or if you're insecure, don't let your emotions make your decisions. Let the Bible, the truth of the Bible, make your decisions. Let principles from the Bible make your decisions. You say, what do you mean by a principle? Well, I can't just describe it totally, but did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say you should not poke out your mother-in-law's eyeball with an ice pick? It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. But I think the principle of not doing that is in the Bible. You know, you got to learn that if God doesn't come right out and print it out for you, if he's dropped you some pretty heavy hints, you might want to follow the heavy hints. Some people, where's that in the Bible? Well, it might not be in the Bible, but there are a lot of things that are, did you know there are a lot of things that are not in the Bible you're not supposed to do? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you should not sleep with 9 different women in one night. But you're not supposed to. Because the principle is taught, the concepts of the truth. So, but you got to get people and yourself to stop making decisions emotionally. Calm down, delay the decision, make the decision based on a truth of the Bible or a principle that is derived from a truth. Let me go on. Next, if you want to help insecure people, you must love them unconditionally. One of the greatest stabilizing forces in the life of the insecure is if they can find somebody that will love them, whether they win or lose, rain or shine. Someone just says, I love you, I'm your friend. And in your friendships, that doesn't mean you'll do anything with them or you'll go anywhere with them or agree with anything, but it means I will love you. Insecure people need somebody to stabilize them, and I'll tell you something, love can be a very powerfully stabilizing force. I'm not talking about the love of the world, I'm talking about the love of this book. Let me go on, and I'm getting close. Number six. Some of you need to find a secure, level-headed spiritual leader and learn to trust them. Did you know that the hurts that have come into your life that's created your insecurity, it is the devil's plan to use those to keep you running from God, responsibility, going to keep you in your little comfort zone. And some people's comfort zone is so little, they're never going to really accomplish. They are not going to excel in life. That's what the devil wanted. The devil wanted to hit you with whatever brought the insecurity. lack of relationship with dad or mom, or hurts from the past marriage, or hurts from your childhood, disappointments, personal failures, all of those things that create the insecurity in us, the devil's whole plan was to take that and not even have to bring other incidents in your life. Just keep you running. Just keep you scared. Now, God never intended for those things to overcome you. God intended for you to overcome those things. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. That love can help us. That love. Now, what you might need to do is find some secure leadership and learn to trust. You say, what? Take a chance? Uh-huh. Risk being hurt? Uh-huh. Yeah. Risk being hurt. Let me give you one more point, and I'm finished. Insecure people need to learn to praise other people's works. You see, if you're insecure, you can develop what you'd call a perfectionist type attitude. And if you're not careful, all the time you're being a perfectionist, you're being critical of everybody else. You can become more worried about your own insecurity than somebody else's success. Because you don't want personal failure, so you limit your productivity in life, and you limit their productivity in life, and you stymie some of their creativity because you never notice the good that they do. All you notice is the bad that they do. Now, parents, listen to me. If you're too insecure as a parent, and you've got to have all the accolades of life, and everything has to be perfect, and you've got all these, and I'm for goals, and I'm for dreams, and I'm for all that, but if you're not careful, you'll destroy your kids. Because all you ever tell them is what they did wrong. And praise helps insecurity. I think we know that. I think if you're insecure, you may not admit that you wanted praise. It sure is good for you, isn't it? You may not even know how to accept it. But in the privacy of your heart and in the privacy of your mind, when praise comes your way, though you may try to brush it off, you may try to push it away, you needed it and you wanted it. And if you needed it and wanted it, so does everybody else. So, those little things will help our insecurities. Don't forget this. Don't forget what Jacob said to Reuben. He said, you're as unstable as water. You're just not secure. You're not anchored. And because of it, you are not going to excel. Now, I want to excel and I want you to excel. So we've got to stabilize ourselves. Not being proud, not being arrogant, but secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secure in this book. Secure in what we believe. Secure in what we are supposed to do. We'll do that.